Lord, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for Sammy, for his willing heart to prepare for the teaching this morning. We ask your blessing and your anointing over him, Lord. And may we just take what he has to teach us today, Lord, and meditate it in our hearts and our minds, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you very much.
Awesome.
All yours, Sam.
All right, so last week, Pastor John had talked a little bit about servants. And he was talking about companies that have servants within the company and how the boss would actually serve the employee. And so when I heard that, I was like, man, I work at Chrysler, and that is not how it happens at Chrysler. The bosses are not like that at all. And so I looked it up, and there's actually a thing called the servant, where is it? Servant leadership. And it's a philosophy where companies adopt it, and they teach management to actually serve the employees. And they do this so that the employees will have better work ethic, they'll enjoy their jobs, but most importantly, they'll actually produce something out of it. They'll produce good products. And I thought that was pretty cool, you know, that they adopted a Christian philosophy. You know, we know that Jesus came to serve us so that we can then go serve other people. I thought about that, like, man, that is so cool to see these jobs. And I looked up a bunch of the corporations. There's about 150 who are making multi-billion dollars a year just because they've adopted this philosophy to go out and serve their employees, and then their employees in return serve each other. So this week I'm teaching on Luke 17, 7 through 10. All right. It says, suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Won't he rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink. Will you thank the servant because he did what he was told? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have done our duty.
Uh-oh.
What's going on, Brian?
I mean, it's early in the morning. You could give a little more enthusiasm, couldn't you, brother?
Man, that is passionate, man. That's the word of God. That's exciting. Well, you think you could do better?
Maybe.
Remember, you'll be up there one day.
Go ahead. Give the mic back to Brian. Let's see what he's got.
Uh-oh. You want me up?
Go ahead, man. If you want to teach, go ahead and teach.
Oh, I don't want to teach, but you got to get us more fired up than that, brother.
Fire us up.
You know, many of the Psalms were sang, so I think if we sang this, it might do this a little better, don't you think?
Noah wants to hear you sing, Brian.
Go ahead, Brian.
You know, I just found out that Eminem turned 40, so you're never too old to rap, right? Now, this is an easy way to remember it, Sammy, so I just want you to remember this. Now, suppose you had a slave working all day, and when he comes in, is this what you'd say? Now, come along now and sit down and eat. Would you rather not say, prepare me some meat? Yo, get yourself ready and wait on me, because you're my slave, not my employee. After I've had enough to eat and drink, you can eat too and wash the dishes in the sink. Would you thank the servant because he did what he was told? You certainly would not, at least in days of old. So when you finish work and make this declaration, we're unworthy servants, we've only done our obligation.
Ooh.
He wrote the lyrics.
No, I can't take credit. No, I was.
He wrote the lyrics.
Luke 17, 7 through 10. I was looking this up, and I came across this rap, and I'm like, man, that is awesome. You know, like, I love listening to Craig because he's always preaching the gospel, and I love hearing, you know, scriptures. It actually makes me memorize scripture even better. So I saw that, and I'm like, man, I'm going to have Brian use that. That is awesome. That is sweet. You know, I didn't want him to sing because there's many songs about this, and everybody knows his voice, man. He can't sing. But hey, I thought he did a good job. I thought he did a good job. Actually, what's funny, when Brian and I asked him to do it, he's like, man, check it out. I'm MC Hush. And I'm like, who in the world is MC Hush? He sent me a picture, and it's this guy that raps with Eminem, and it looks identical to Brian. He had the goatee and everything. I'm like, man, Brian, you know, you kind of look like him, but he's better looking than you, you know. So
he was half Lebanese.
He was. See, there you go. Lebanese men. There you go. All right. So you're reading this, and first and foremost, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, all right? A lot of the other scriptures that we've used, the parables, Jesus was referring to the Pharisees, but this example, he was speaking right to the disciples. And you first read that, it's like, man, he's kind of harsh. You hear what he's saying, he's like, you're unworthy. And it's like, really? Like, I'm unworthy? I've been with you for like 3 years, and I'm unworthy? That's kind of hard. John was probably saying, man, I'm not the one who's going to deny you. Peter is not me. You know, I've been with you. I'm sticking by your side. So let's keep on reading. I'm actually going to go, if you guys want to turn to Luke 17, 5 through 6, just to get some greater knowledge on the situation. It says, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. He replied, if you had faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. He tells them, if you have faith, you can do the impossible. You can do things that, to the ordinary eye, don't look possible. It's something that's impossible. But then he goes on to say, but you're unworthy. And I know I've been in that situation, you know, growing up. My dad, he'll give me a compliment, you know, tell me I'm doing good, but then it's like, nah, you still got to work on this. Don't get such a big head, come back down. So Jesus was really humbling the disciples. He's giving them something to say, look, you can do this thing, but don't think you're great, because you're not. And so let's dive in a little bit more. You know, even God tells us to do things, to wait on him, trust in him, tell people about him. But many times we get just so confused with taking care of me, me, and me. You know, I go to work and, you know, I try to be a light and speak to people about the Lord. And then I come home and I expect just to relax and not do anything. And then now my wife's pregnant, so now I got to help take care of her and help around the house. And it's like, man. Well, it's about me, you know. I shouldn't have to pick up around the house. But it's just that humility. I'm joking, guys, by the way. I do help out. But it's got to be that humility to where, you know, it's not about yourself. You're not looking to always please you. And so this scripture, he's talking to them about being humble. All right. I don't know if anybody, Kenny's been there. I think Pastor Don's been there. There's this restaurant called Texas de Brazil. Has anybody ever been there? Almost been there? All right, it's awesome. And they have these cards. And what it is when it's green, you put it on the table, and people will actually come and serve you. And they'll keep bringing tons of food, tons of food, tons of food. And when you turn, awesome meat. And when you turn it red, they'll stop, and they'll stop serving you. You want to see it? Well, see, what was funny, I went with Kenny, and I took him there. He helped me out, and so I took him to Texas de Brazil. And so he's like, man, I'm going to use this on my wife. I was like, man, Kenny, good luck with that, man. I was like, I don't think I have enough guts to try that, especially now.
She's colorblind, she said.
Right, right. So even now, man, I don't even think I'd have the nerve to ask my wife. She'd be like, I'm the pregnant one. You should serve me, blah, blah, blah. So, right, my mom, right. Oh, yeah. And I clean the house. You're welcome. All right. All right. Hey, it was a tag team, people. It was a tag team. She mowed the grass. I weed whacked, you know. You just help out. All right. So in the word, Jesus is referring to us as a servant. And when I looked it up, it actually means a slave, involuntary or voluntary, or a bondservant. I believe this was an example of voluntary slave, meaning they made that choice, just as all of us make a choice to be servants of God. So we are subject to him. He's the authority. We put ourselves before him, and we, you know, we have that choice to listen to him or not. All right. The servant, it says, was plowing the ground and attending the sheep. I was thinking about that and how every day, you know, as Christians, it's our job to go out and plow the fields, right? When we go to the store, Bob's always talking about, you know, he's going to the hospital and he's plowing the ground there. He's always trying to, you know, advance the kingdom of God. And so this is symbolizing work in the kingdom of God. You know, each one of us have work to do. Pastors, you know, they're always trying to shepherd the sheep. And sometimes you can get so consumed with doing the Lord's work to where afterwards you come in and you just want to relax, you want to do your own thing. But once again, God's pulling you back and saying, no, you know, you still have to be subject to me. There's still work that I need you to do. And so I'm sure if any of you guys lived on a farm or you've plowed the field before or you've worked a long day, you know, construction. Alma, she's never done that. nodding her head. But anytime you have a long day at work, you know, you come home, and at least for me, the one thing I want right when I come home is food. I'm just hungry, I'm starving, I'm ready to eat. And so same with this servant. They come home, and they're just ready to eat. But what's the one thing that God says? He says, let me read it again. He says, won't he rather say, prepare my supper and get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink? So God's saying, man, the one thing that you want is that food. You want to come in, you worked a long day, you're starving, but you still have to wait on me. You know, and the Bible throughout all scripture talks about waiting on God, trusting in God, being obedient to God. And, you know, so that's just reiterating waiting on God and trusting him, giving it to him. The one thing that you desire is him. You know, when I was in a relationship with my wife before marriage, you know, I tried rushing it, and I wasn't waiting on God, and I was disobedient to the T. And you know, everybody knew it ended in disaster. You know, we had broken up, and, you know, it was really hard on her, and, you know, really hard on her. You know, there's a freedom in that, you know. I was crying. But no, I'm not going to win this battle. I'm just going to leave it at that. So, you know, when you do that, it always ends in disaster. And then you take a step back. And then I had to say, God, you know, you're first. You know, the one thing that I desired, the one thing that I wanted was a relationship with her. And I had to give that to God first, you know, and put it before him and do what he's asked me to do first and foremost. And then obviously now you see that he's blessed me with it, blessed me with a child on the way, with a house, a job, and everything. And, you know, that's nothing I can take credit for. That's only him. All right, verse 9 through 10. Let me read it again. It says, will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. And the word unworthy is actually akraios in the Greek, and it means useless, unmeritous, and unprofitable. You know, in high school, I knew a bunch of guys, I'm sure PD can testify to this, you know, in high school, and the coach would say, you know, Sammy, get in the game. But other guys were never called upon. They were never told to get in, and it was because they were useless, right? Did you have any players that were just, they were not good? See, he was that player that wasn't any good. But no, I mean, it's so true. There's a lot of players on the team, you know, that at the end of the game, we were playing Ipsy, and you were like all muddy and dirty, and then you'd see four or five players just sitting on the sideline all clean cut, like, I want to get in, coach. And he's like, no, just stay seated right there. You know, you're doing good. You're doing good. Brian knows all about that. You know, I don't think he played a snap.
Sammy, I was a second string kicker in high school. I wore the same uniform all season, never even had to wash it.
Oh, man.
Was proud of it.
Well, I guess someone is proud of that uselessness.
Right.
Actually, you need those guys on the team, though. They are still part of the team, even though they're not starters. Not everybody's called to be a starter.
Hey, you know what? Maybe, but not me. You know, I'm called to be a starter.
They work just as hard in practice. It's just they just don't have the talent like some of us, like you have, you know. So some of us had to ride the bench.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Did you walk in here teaching a Sunday morning class, brother?
Yes, I did, actually. The first time I was wearing sandals, and you can see my hairy legs coming out, you know. Look at that hairy leg.
No.
Okay. But, no, it started making me think, like, you know, as a coach, God's definitely greater than a coach, but a coach knows how to use certain players, you know. And I remember the last game of the season, my coach started playing people who, because obviously we were out of the playoffs, and he would start to use people that never got a chance to play. And he'd put them in a situation to do good or to use their abilities, even if they didn't have a lot. I think how much greater is God, you know, where he puts us in situations to where he can prosper our way. Or you might not be talented in this area, but God wants to use you over here. And he'll move you around into a situation if you're humble and if you have that servant's heart to listen to him. You know, he'll make your path straight and he'll continue to move you forward and forward. You know, and I was thinking about this, about how the concept of useless, you know, or unworthy. And that's a title for all us, you know, Christians, or everybody. We are unworthy. You know, no one is good. Jesus said no one is good except for God. And I thought about how that totally contradicts humanism, Islam, You know, atheism, a lot of those people think, well, I'm a good person. You know, I do good, or I have a good job. I make tons of money, so I'm a good person. You know, look at me. I'm doing good. I've built a, you know, dynasty, and I made this much. I actually looked it up. The richest man in the world right now is Bill Gates, and he's worth $85 billion. And that's his worth. And that's $85 billion more than me. So, well, hey, I don't need $85 billion. So, but, you know, it's just sad that people hold that as their sense of worth. You know, God paid the price for each one of us now that we are saved. You know, some of us speak in tongues. Most of us tithe. Most of us go to church on Sunday and Wednesday. And somehow we think that that's paying God back. And that's not what pays God back. We are so, in Isaiah, it says, all of us have become like the one who is unclean. All of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We are all shriveled up like a leaf. Like the wind, our sins sweep us away. The whole point of that is to produce humility. The whole point of being a servant is to understand that you don't deserve it. You don't deserve that place. You know, the servant, he said, I'm just doing my duty. I'm just doing what I'm called to do. And the reason why Jesus was referring to him as that, as the servant who's unworthy, is because we don't deserve it. Right? Jesus said that we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all fallen short. And so Jesus is telling them, like, look, you can do this great things. I want to send you out. I want to use you. But don't allow the Christian life of going out become pride, thinking that you've done it on your own. You've been walking this walk for 5, 10 years, and you've been doing so good. But don't hold on to that. Hold on to me. Because that's not what your salvation. The Christian lifestyle is not your salvation. God is. He's the one who does it all for you. And, you know, for me, I always try to remind myself of my past failures, my past mistakes. You know, when I was growing up, my dad, he always gave me a lot of stuff, you know, and he was always trying to hook me up, and he gave me my first car, you know, and he'd give me lots of, you know, money whenever I needed it, and I always messed it up. You know, when I was 15, he put me through driver's ed, and afterwards, yeah, Katie knows this story, and afterwards, just passed it, got my pink slip. So anybody that's familiar with that, you're not allowed to drive on your own when you have your pink slip. You have to be with an adult, someone who's 18 or older. And so I'm like, Dad, come on, I don't want to ride my bike. It's tour days. I'm going to be exhausted after practice. Come on, let me take your car to work today, you know, and I promise I'll be safe. I'll be safe. I just did the pink slip. I'll be good. And he's like, no, no. And I'm like, please, please, I promise I won't mess it up. And he's like, all right, you can do it. But don't take your friend, and you have to stay on the dirt road. So what do? You know, pick up my friend, and we actually went on the dirt road. You know, we were going slow on the way to practice, and after practice, we had a good day. You know, and so I was all pumped up, and afterwards, I'm like, hey man, you know, we're driving through Belleville, and you know, all it is cornfields on the right hand side and on the left, and it's about a 2-mile stretch of nothing but dirt roads. I'm like, hey, let's see how fast this 85 Buick can go, baby. And he's like, all right, let's do it. Huh? Hey, I'm an Arab, man. I'm a little bullheaded. So what do? We stopped the car, and then all of a sudden I just floor it, and I'm trying to see how fast I can go. And we actually got up to about 110, and then there was we were up there. Then we're coming up there. We're probably like 50 feet away, and there's a railroad. And in Belleville, the railroads aren't like they are out here where, you know, it's just flat. It comes straight, like, up, and then it comes down. And it was a stop sign, and I'm like, Nick, man, let's do this. So I'm still going, and I'm down to 104 now. I slowed down to about 104. You know, about six miles off. It ain't that bad. So I'm coming, and then I start to brake a little bit, and I get airborne. Right on the other side, like literally pulling up to the stop sign was a cop. And I'm like, no, I came so close to hitting him, and I ended up moving over, and I'm freaking out, and I'm like, should we run? What should we do? I'm like, I don't know what to do, man. So I pull over, and instantly I just start crying. I'm like 15 years old, and it's like, man, I thought my life was over. And he ended up impounding the car. I got three tickets out of it. I thought I wasn't going to be able to drive till I was like 21. And I was like, man, dude, I just got my pink slip. I'm so dumb. And the worst part was the cop put me in the back of the car, handcuffed me, and he made me call my dad and tell him oh, man, just to hear his voice, he didn't say nothing. He was like, okay. Okay. And I'm just like, no. didn't talk to me for a week, you know. But that's just one example of how, you know, I've messed so much stuff up in my life. And, you know, three examples. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Actually, what was cool is I wasn't supposed to get my license, but since I was 15, it didn't go on my record because I didn't have a license. I wasn't in the system. So God kind of covered me there because shortly after I ended up getting saved. So it was, he just hooked me up, man. But that's just a funny example of how we mess up so many times. You got something to share?
I was listening to my son-in-law, Gary, and there's one road out there by them that they ended up paving because there were so many deaths. God was covering you every inch of that road.
Oh, heck yeah.
Because I didn't know at the time until he taught me that on gravel, on dirt roads, you can lose control very easily and slide with no control where your car is going.
Yeah.
So just the fact that you didn't get in an accident at even half that speed.
Yeah.
Is a miracle.
Yeah. The worst part is I wasn't even buckled up. The cop could have given me a ticket, you know, for that. And he comes up, he's like, man, are you stupid? Your buddy's buckled up and you're not. I'm like, I'm sorry, you know. Katie, you got something?
I was there. I was actually waiting for you to get home. We all would hang out at Sammy's house during the summer. Didn't the car have no tags and anything, too?
Well, that's what the ticket was. It was unregistered. So yeah. My dad gave me a car that was unregistered because he thought I was going to listen, but, you know.
Yeah, you cried for a long time.
And then, yeah, I did, man. I was bawling all the way home, man. I thought I was done. I thought I was, like, going to be off the football team and everything. My punishment actually was he didn't talk to me for a week. So it was, no, he was so upset he couldn't look at me. That's how mad he was. My dad's not that type of guy. He will talk to you, get in your face. Nope. He was so upset he wouldn't even look at me. So, yep. But, right, right. Hey, you know, you get in that situation, I'm sure you would cry too, you know. So, but it just started reminding me, you know, we went to Jesus Culture and what an awesome experience, you know, to be there and just spend time with the Lord. And we were there in the first night. You know, I was just trying to press in, and I open my eyes for a second, and I look over, and there's this woman holding a baby. And I'm like, man, you know, me and my wife are pregnant. You know, that's just awesome to think about. And then huh? You can't tell? You know, she's got one, I got one, you know, twins. So I start thinking about this baby, and I start thinking about all the times I've messed up. You know, and all the times where I've let my, you know, my physical dad down to where he's entrusted me with stuff. I started thinking about the railroad story. You know, there's countless examples of where I messed up. And then I started thinking about God and how the one thing in life that God cares about, the one thing he cherishes is life, is a person. And to think that God's entrusting me, someone who's always messed stuff up, with a life, man, I just started crying. I might start crying right now just thinking about it. Because it's something that's so awesome how God just blesses you and gives you something that's so precious to him. And he's saying, like, look, like, yeah, you've messed up in the past and you are unworthy. But I'm giving you this because I know that you can do it through me. If you just listen to me, you can do it. Yeah, you're unworthy. You've fallen short all the time. But stay humble. You know, stay focused on me. Fix your eyes on me. Don't lose sight of who I am in your life. And I guarantee you, you know, he'll make your way straight. You know, Paul, he would always talk about how he was the chief of sinners. He was the worst. In 1 Timothy 1:15, it says, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. And anybody who knows the story of Paul, I'm sure we all do, he did so much for the kingdom of God. And the one thing I think about Paul that's different than a lot of other people is he recognized of how far he fell short of the glory of God. And he had that humility, and he always wanted to do what God wanted him to do. There's that humility of a servant to say, not my will, but your will be done. You know, as Christ prayed before he took the cross. You know, and that's like, man, I need to be more like that. We all need to try to be more like that. Have that humility of a servant. You know, because how are you supposed to do what God wants you to do if you're not having a humble heart? You know, and that was something that Paul always addressed, was stay humble. You know, don't lose sight of who God is. Know where you came from. Don't forget how you used to be. You know, God's not a football coach trying to recruit people for their talents. You know, he doesn't want you because you're a great mom, a brother, a son. It's simply because he loves you. In Isaiah 66:2, it says, "Has not my hand made all these things? And so they came into being, declares the Lord. These are the ones I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word." You know, God just looks on us with humility. When we have that humble heart, you know, he's proud. You know, when we come to him with that humility. Everything we have is from God. We can't take credit for it. You know, it's a choice to be humble. It's a choice to say, no, I can't take credit for that. God's the one who did that. You know, there's a bunch of people at work. I know they could probably actually get fired for this. They paid their way. They paid a guy $1,000 to get them the job at Chrysler. And they're like, yeah, you know, they're boasting about it that they did that. And I'm like, that's crazy, man. I'd never try paying $1,000 to get a job. They're like, well, how'd you get the job? And I was like, I prayed and asked God. That was it. He's the one who got it for me. They're like, no, you must have known somebody. You must have, you know, paid somebody off or done something like that. I was like, dude, I'm telling you, I'm being honest. There's no reason why I should have got this job except for God. And that's it. Someone want to look up 2 Chronicles 7:14 for me? And somebody else go to Matthew 23:12. And then somebody else, Romans 5:8. All right, who's at 2 Chronicles? Candace, you there? 7:14. You got it?
If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land.
Awesome. Amen. Matthew 23:12. Who's got that one? You there, Ashley?
For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted.
Amen. Amen. Anybody, you at Romans 5:8? Brian?
But God demonstrates his own love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen. Amen. So I just want you guys to think about that. You know, the best servants are always the humble ones. You know, those scriptures are all talking about what God wants to do to the humble. He wants to raise you up. You know, he wants to advance you where you're at. And, you know, you might say, well, you know, I am a good person. I do stuff, but really we're not. Other than that, if it's not for the grace and the mercy of God, you know, we don't deserve nothing but hell. And by his grace, like Romans 5:8 says, that he demonstrates our love toward us, that while we were sinners. You know, it's easy to say I love somebody because they love me back. But Christ loves us simply because he's God and he loves us. It's nothing that we can do to earn his love. It's simply because of that. And so that's the whole point that I think he was trying to deliver to these disciples and to us, was don't think that it's by your work. You know, yeah, I've given you authority to go and move that tree into the ocean, and I've given you authority to heal the sick, but don't think that it's you that's doing it, because it's only by him that that's going to get done. Amen. That's actually all I got. We finished fast, man. A little early. Three minutes early.
All right, since he purposefully made this one a little bit short, because he's going to entertain some questions now, all right? Who has a question for him? Anthony, of course. My man.
I have a real serious question. I was wondering if you had actually gotten a CT scan of your brain before or after you went driving 110 yeah. miles an hour by a railroad on a dirt road with an unregistered car. And a pink slip and you know, your friend in the car.
I didn't need to. You know, when we went to Mexico, I hit my nose pretty good, and it kind of put my brain back in order. You know, so I didn't need to do that. But
it's quite funny you were saying that. Why my wife was getting on you, our grandson, who just got his driver's license and a car, decided on a country road to take a curve real fast. He made it through the curve and all the way to the ditch. So they had to, and of all things, he was going to his football game, and he did it right in front of the school where all his friends were standing there looking at him like, you big dummy. City boy, didn't know how to drive in the gravel. Anyone else? All right. There's still some more food back there. We have plenty of time. Stand around, stop around up here, talk, get downstairs, and meet some of the new people that are coming in. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Who would you like to close with, Sammy?
Brian.
I think Rudy did a good job. I mean, Sammy did a good job up there. No, it was really good. And, Father, we just thank you for this teaching. Lord, Father, just bring it to our reminders, Lord God, that we are just your servants, Lord God. And we thank you that we are your servants, Lord, and we no longer serve the enemy. Father God, I pray that you would just prepare our hearts for worship, Lord, and help us to go in there with a good attitude, Lord, and just serve you in worship. And we love you, and we thank you for this teaching. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.